In 2 Samuel chapter 9, we find the word of the Lord speaking about Mephibosheth. Yes? Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He was from the house of Saul. He was lame in both his feet because when he was young, his maidservant had not looked after him diligently, and so he fell down from the bed and hurt his feet, and he was lame ever since. After the death of Saul, King David is looking for someone to show kindness to. Amen. And he says, is there anybody in the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness? And after 20 years, this boy has been in the desert in a place called Lo Debar, which we know is a place of barren pastures. God sends for him through David, and David brings him into Jerusalem. Amen. Hallelujah. And God is allowing David to show his kindness. And he's been kind to this young boy. And this young boy is to be continuously in the house of the king for the rest of his life. Amen. And he's sitting at the table. We know that, don't we? We went through that message a long time back. He's sitting at the table with the king, with the royalty. He's sitting there, but he's got a problem. His legs are lame, are too weak. Hallelujah. God has shown kindness to him. God has saved him, brought him all the way into the banqueting table and given him a position forever. But again and again, because his lame, his feet was lame, he would fall down. Are you with me? Yes? Hallelujah. Many times he would fall down. But his falling down did not change the fact that he was still to be in the king's house. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? Did you hear that? You know what happened to him? Because he was always falling down flat, he always thought of himself as a dog. 2 Samuel 9 verse 8 says, am I a dead dog? Can you imagine him saying that? God has shown kindness to him. He's supposed to be there continuously in the table. But his perception of himself was, see, I'm always falling down. I should be a dead dog. But he did not know the Father, Son, and the Spirit was living down in his heart. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. What am I trying to tell you? You might have fallen 100 million times, but let me tell you, that does not change your position in Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Shall we look to the word today? Some of you are finding it hard to sing that Father, Son, and Spirit is living and down in my heart because I've fallen too many times. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But I can assure you, if you are here, it's not the devil who's brought you here. Hallelujah. It's the Lord who's brought you here for a purpose. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's open our Bibles to a very short message today. It is to Acts of the Apostles, the 28th chapter. And verse 31. Acts 28 and verse 31. That's the last scripture in that chapter. Acts 28, 31. Are you there? 30 and 31, I'll do it. Then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house and received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, with no one restricting him, with no one forbidding him, with no one oppressing him. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. With nothing to obstruct him. Wouldn't you like that anointing upon your life? Hallelujah. You have given your heart to Jesus, but you just do not know how to go about doing what God wants you to do. Paul, in 20th chapter, verse 31 says, there was no one obstructing him or holding him down. And he could very freely do the will of God in his life. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's get to Psalm 62. Psalm 62. Verses 1 and 2. Truly my soul silently waits for God. From Him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Amen. The fifth verse. My soul waits patiently or silently for God alone. For my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. David going through many trials in his life. But he is saying in the 62nd chapter, when he is praying unto the Lord, Lord, you are my salvation. You are my rock. You are my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Amen? Amen. Then the sixth verse says, He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In the second verse he said, I shall not be greatly moved. But while he is continuing to pray, he is saying, listen, when I put my trust in the Lord alone, amen, I shall not be moved at all. You know what that word means? That's the only word that you need to hear actually today. See, in Psalm 62 verse 1 it says here, one more time would you look to it? Truly my soul silently waits for God. From Him comes my salvation. And he's praying. But he's still finding not an answer because there are a lot of things that is obstructing him from fulfilling the command of God in his life. And he's troubled. But when he's continuing to pray, suddenly he finds the key to how to come out of his problem. For he says in the fifth verse, my soul waits silently for God alone. Are you with me? The word is alone. God alone. When he started his prayer, even though he was vocalizing his prayer, his heart was maybe trusting in a lot of other things. Maybe he might have been looking to the prophets or to the priest or to his great warrior friends that he had. Some of them were great men, who were faithful to David. They could have gone forth for David and done anything for David. He could have looked to any one of them. But suddenly he's praying and he's still not finding an answer in his life amidst his problem. And he's wondering why. And then he finds that he says, Lord, I have put my faith and my salvation, my trust in you alone. Amen. In you alone. Are you with me? Hallelujah. It's not God amidst a lot of other things. If nothing else works, then I'll try God. That's not the way. Or it's not other way around also. But I'll try God first. If that doesn't happen, maybe I should do something else about it. Are you with me? He's saying the Lord alone. Amen. Hallelujah. He alone is my source. He alone is the one who can answer me and deliver me and bring me through. Hallelujah. That single-heartedness. Are you with me? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, I was looking at that word greatly moved or moved. It's got the meaning, you know what? That word moved has got the meaning to be unsettled. It's got the meaning to be thrown off balance. To fall from our confidence. to be defeated in conflict or to stumble in a slippery place. Can you imagine that? Anybody ever going through any of those things? Come on. Why are you silent? David said, I'm greatly moved. In other words, he's saying, I'm very unsettled. I do not know what's going to happen with my life. I'm not sure of my future. I just do not know what's going to happen for my life. He said, see, I'm thrown off balance. I want to walk in victory. I want to walk in blessing. But I'm always thrown off balance. You sometimes look at great men of God and say, oh my God, I want to be like that person. Never to fall, strong. But David is saying, listen, I'm just scared. I'm so greatly moved. I'm praying. But I'm just scared that I lose my balance and fall down. Are you with me? He's saying, I'm just scared of falling from my confidence. Anybody feeling that way today? I've put my trust in the Lord, I know that, but I'm just scared. I'm just greatly moved by a lot of things that's happening in my life and around me and within me and all that. I don't know what to do, where to go for help, how to look about. I don't know what's going to happen. That's what David is saying. It means to be defeated in battle. That word moved or in conflict. Looking at your life and saying, oh my God, I want to fight the good fight. Paul said it's a good fight, but it looks like a bad fight for me because I'm always looking to lose. I want to win somehow, but I think I'm always losing. Anybody feels like a loser here today? In your walk with God? That's what David felt like. Are you with me? Are you with me? Look at this again. It means to be stumbled in a slippery place. You're barely walking through. Now you're just scared. You slip and go down. I like that. But the key word is this. The 8th verse. Psalm 62 verse 8. It says there. Trust in Him at all times. Hallelujah. Amen. In God alone. In the beginning when he's starting his prayer. He's saying, Lord, you are my God. I wait for you. I know my salvation comes from you. You are my rock. You are my salvation. You are my defense. But I'm so greatly moved, Lord. I'm so greatly moved. And he's continuing to say out his problem and continuing to again cry out to the Lord. Under the 5th verse saying, God alone is my salvation. Hallelujah. My brother, my sister, you might be here today and you might be praying to the Lord and you might have been going through many a slippery place in your life, but let me tell you, everything will change when you put your complete trust upon the Lord, saying, Lord, you alone. It's absolute, complete, falling at the feet of Jesus Christ, face down. Nothing else, Lord. Do you hear that? Nothing else. I'm fall at your feet, face down. You alone. Nowhere else can I come out of this. Do you hear that? Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You alone, O God. Completely at the feet of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. See, when you look at Paul's life into the New Testament, in the 20th chapter of Acts 31, you've read the scripture, it says, he was preaching the word unrestricted. Are you with me? Amen? Hallelujah. But what you don't understand is the fact that for him to speak or minister the word of God unrestricted in the 20th chapter of Acts, there were 27 chapters before where he found actually 28 things that was restricting him. Come on. Hallelujah. Anybody here with a desire to serve the Lord in your life? Amen. What's restricting you? Something's holding you back, isn't it? Yes? But will you be able to say like a David, Lord, I trust you at all times. You alone are my source. I like what Jesus said in John 6 and verse 57. He said, as the living Father has sent me, as the living Father has sent me, amen. Hallelujah. Who sent you? As the living Father has sent me, and I feed on him, so he who feeds on me will have life. You hear that? As the living Father has sent me, and as I feed on him, in the same way the Lord is saying to his disciples, if you feed on me, Jesus is saying, you will have life. In other words, what the Lord is saying, listen, I alone am your source. You need food to sustain you, to strengthen you, to keep you going. But I alone, that's what Jesus is saying, am your source, no one else. And if you know how to come to my feet and feed off me, then you will have the same life that I have. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. See, some of us, we look at our lives and we say, listen, there are too many things that has become more important to us than the Lord alone. Too many things has become more important to us than the Lord alone. For Saul, King Saul, for him it was not the king, it was his kingdom that mattered. Are you with me? So it was his respect. How I would be respected in front of the people. What would people say about me? That's what concerned him, even when he sinned. It was not the king. We all have our little kingdoms that we're concerned about. My reputation, my job, my work, my life, my future, my ministry. We all have our little kingdoms that we're concerned about. But have you forgotten the king like a King Saul? It's when, like a David, you can say, Lord, you alone, you are the one that matters to me. It's not that David did not have weakness in his life. Are you with me? But he laid it bare before the Lord. That's what God trusted. Amen. For Saul, it was not that. It was his kingdom. It was prestige, his position, his respect, all that. What would people say? David, he messed up a lot of times, but he had the strength or the boldness to come before the Lord and fall flat at the feet of the Lord and say, Lord, you alone. I've sinned against you alone. You alone. Are you with me? That word is so important. Amen. Hallelujah. Psalm 121. It says here, I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help. Hallelujah. Amen. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Hallelujah. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? Can you imagine that? See, oh, my brother, David, when he's saying that, or when the psalmist is saying that, there is Mount Zion, there is Mount Moriah, there is Mount Carmel all around him. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Ah, do I see an Elijah on Mount Carmel today? Who will call down the fire for my life? I lift my eyes up to the hills. Which hill? Which mount? Zion? Oh, that's where I received my anointing. That's where I was ordained the king over Israel. That's the place I should rule. I lift up there. Oh, Abraham, Mount Moriah, who sacrificed Isaac. Maybe I should go to my roots and see what the problem is. I'm the child of Abraham, maybe my roots. But he said, no, that's nothing. My help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. Hallelujah. My help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. So the Lord alone was his source. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. See, when you do that, it says here, he will not allow your foot to be moved. You know, this Psalm 120 is it's called a pilgrim psalm. Sometimes people call it the traveler psalm. Or a person who says the psalm while on a journey. And he says here, he will not allow my foot to be moved. Amen. When you put the Lord alone as your source, not anything else spiritual, but the Lord alone, he will not allow your foot to be moved. You know what that means? It means he will keep you. See, when the psalmist is saying that he's on a pilgrim or he's on a travel, and he's not going on the Ford Icon, he's going through the hills and through the valleys and through the edge of the cliff, and he knows it's dark, and he knows there are wild animals, he knows there are rocks down, and if he should fall, he's gone forever. But while he's going through that travel in the night, he's saying, he, the Lord, the maker of the heavens and the earth, will not allow my feet to be moved or to slip. Hear that? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, look at the feet and say, Lord, anoint my feet. Hallelujah. Amen. Why? Because he who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. I like that. Once a man of God was very worried, a great man of God, I forget his name, but I remember the incident. He was worried over the church, over what is happening in his own life, in his family, and things around. And he was sitting late into the night and saying, Lord, I have to prepare tomorrow to minister unto the congregation. They need to hear your word and be set free. How will you set them free, Lord? Who will remove their yokes and their bondage? Who will help them? And Lord, I need your help myself. Why? What will I do? And he was crying and praying and travailing and sitting there in the night. And his eyes, you know, fell on the Psalm 121, on that scripture which says, the Lord, the watcher of Israel, shall neither slumber nor sleep. And the Lord spoke to him and said, it is no point in both of us staying awake all night. Hallelujah. One of us can sleep. Hallelujah. I will not sleep. You can sleep, son. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of Jesus. I do not know what is going through your life, my brother. There might be watches of the night where you have spent awake, tossing to and fro in your bed. Hallelujah. Looking for a way out of your problem, anxious over your future, worried about your past, guilty about your life, feeling messed up and torn down and destroyed. But let me tell you, the Lord God of Israel shall never slumber nor sleep. He watches over you. Amen. He alone is the source. That's the point. Are you with me? Amen. The fifth verse. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. Amen. Hallelujah. You don't have to fear the sun stroke nor the moon stroke. You know what that means actually? The sun shall not strike you by the day, nor the moon by night. Amen. You need to understand, when you look at your life, sometimes you find yourself dry in a very hot place, barren. But my Bible says in Isaiah 35, verses 1 and 2, He will turn the wasteland and the barren land and the desert to a rose garden. Amen? Hallelujah. He will turn my desert into a rose garden. That's what Isaiah 35:1 says. So you didn't trouble about your life saying it's barren, there's no fruitfulness, there's no life. I don't know why there is no fruit, why there is no victory, why no blessing. I don't know what's happening with me. The sun is just being hot upon my life. It's so dry. He has promised in His word that He will change your desert into a rose garden. Therefore, the fourth verse in Isaiah 35 says, fear not. Amen? Fear not by seeing the heat in your life. Because I will change your desert into a rose garden. You know, I was reading a book which I realized that I do not know, I might be wrong, but I hope I am right, that roses need at least to be watered 3 times a day. Am I right? Jerry, you wouldn't know, would you? Now here, the context is the desert. Remember that. The sun shall not strike you during the day. It's in Palestine. Israel. In the desert. In the dryness. He will change your barrenness and your dryness into a rose garden. Therefore, fear not. Amen. How will you do it? If roses need water 3 times a day, if the desert is going to be turned into a rose garden, even in the heat of the day, Isaiah 27, 3 and 4 speaks on how He will do it. He says, I will plant my vineyard and I myself will watch over it and I will water it minute by minute. That's one scripture version. Minute by minute, just not 3 times a day. Time and again, all through the day, I will water it. Hallelujah. When you look to the Lord alone as your source, what I'm saying is this, you will have the rivers over your life. Are you feeling kind of dry? And say, oh my God, what will I do for a fresh anointing? I feel so dry. I feel so drained out. I feel no energy. I'm just sitting there gasping. Let me tell you, the key is the Lord alone is your source for you to once again have the fruitfulness in your life. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? And the sun shall not strike you by the day, nor the moon by night. You know what moonstroke is? It is said that there was a superstitious belief in Israel at that time that moon determined the way a mind of a man would be. You know, you find this word lunacy coming actually from the word lunar, the moon, because it was a belief that the moon determined how a mind condition of a man would be. Are you with me? How his mind condition would be. And the Lord is saying, you will have no lunacy in your mind. You might feel as if everything in your mind is being torn apart and broken through and you think you're going to die and you're going to become a mental problem. So many believers time and again come to me and say, I don't know the conflict that goes on in me. I think I'm losing my mind. How do I handle this? Hallelujah. When you put the Lord alone as your source. Did you hear that, church? The moon shall not strike you. Hallelujah. That's okay. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory unto the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. He will preserve you coming in and going out. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the name of Jesus. Would you lift your right hand up to the Lord and say, Lord, I put my trust entirely in you and nothing else. Not upon Mount Zion, not upon Mount Moriah, not upon, Lord, anything else, Lord, not upon any mountain, not upon any people, not upon anything, not in the prophets, not in the priest, in nothing else, Lord, but in you. My soul waits for you, O God. My soul trusts in you, O God. You alone are the keeper of my life. You alone are the watcher of my soul. In your hands I commit my life completely. Hallelujah. You will turn my wilderness into a time of becoming a rose garden. My desert shall bloom with the roses, Lord, because you yourself will water it. May there be refreshing upon your children. May there be release upon your children. May there be glory moving upon your children. May the life of God enter every heart, every life in this place this morning. Let the power of the risen Lord move through. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, we haven't been able to get into Acts 28. But maybe I just would like you to stand up for a minute. Amen. Just because before we sing the final song, remember this, the Lord alone is the source. Amen. You know what that means? Once a man of God said he was so troubled, want to realize why there was no power and why he couldn't experience the forgiveness of the Lord. When you read Psalm 62, the 11th verse says, once God spoke twice, I heard that power belongs to God and mercy is also from him. Amen. When you're greatly troubled and moved and unsettled, seldom can you feel the power of God upon your life. And you don't actually feel the mercy of God upon your life. Are you with me? Amen. That's why you have to trust in the Lord at all times. Amen. Amen. And you have to look to him alone as your source, as your rock of your salvation. To him alone, nothing else. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I heard a man of God say that there are so many people who are spiritual, who are anointed, who still walk about in guilt because they just can't experience forgiveness in their lives. That's where the mercy of God comes in. Amen. It comes in when you look to the Lord alone. When you look at the scripture in Genesis 3, it says, Adam and Eve, they sinned. They substituted the Lord and looked at the tree and ate of that which God forbid. They fell from grace. You remember that? Amen. And what did the Lord do? The Lord came for them. What did he do? See, he covered them, Genesis 3:21 says, with the skin of the animal, the blood soaked skin of the animal, the warmth of that blood, the warmth of that skin upon their lives. Never again do you see in Genesis 3 or in 4 that Adam and Eve ever walked with guilt over what they had done, because the blood cleansed them. Amen. Never once again do you find in Genesis or in any other book where Adam and Eve regretted what they had done and was walking about in guilt. You know why? Because the blood that the Lord had covered them with completely cleansed them. They knew they were covered. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You need to look to him, the Lamb of God alone. Then you experience that mercy, the forgiveness. You also know that you are not only anointed and the Father, Son, and the Spirit of God is living inside of you. You know you're forgiven, redeemed. Amen. Hallelujah. That word, you know, which we time and again say that, you know, Exodus 20, the first commandment, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, and you shall have no other strange gods before you. You know that, don't you? Exodus 2 and 3, the first commandment. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. You shall not have any strange gods before you. Amen. Now that word actually means, I am the Lord. That is Jehovah. I am the Lord. It means Yahweh. Your God, Elohim. And you shall have no other Elohims before me. In other words, I alone am the source. The Lord is saying, You shall make for yourself no other images. Leviticus 26:1 says, you shall not make for yourself, which means you can make. You can make God out of anything that you like. Are you with me? Amen. 7,000 times in the scriptures, 7,000 times, it speaks about the Lordship of Jesus. The word Lord is mentioned in the scripture 7,000 times. And you know what is amazing? Actually, only 39 times the Bible speaks about the word Savior. Which means Jesus placed much more importance to the word Lordship than to the Savior part of it. In other words, when you say, Jesus, you are my supreme authority, that's what Lordship means. You are my source. You are the one who is in charge of my life. You are the owner of my life. I belong to you. When you say that and when you submit to Him completely, it means He will work everything else out for you, including your salvation. But what you say is this, first save me, then I will submit to you. Did you hear that? First you say in your mind, get me out of this sin. Get me out of this bondage. Then I will submit to you. God says, first submit to me, then I'll get you out of that. Did you hear that, church? Did you hear that, church? The Lord alone is my authority. The Lord alone is my salvation. Hallelujah. Look unto Jesus today and my God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. How many are feeling to fast and pray this week for the ministry? Would you lift your hand? Monday?